You see, now immediately answered. I mean, before I hit it, and it paused, and it thought about it, and it spun the wheel. This time I hit it, boom.
All good.
So, all right.
Okay, so let's see. I sent you the little agenda thingy I had written up. I think it's fairly obvious, right?
Yeah, it looked perfect.
Okay, let me find where the fuck. Hold on, just 1 second here.
I'm having so much problems with the Wi-Fi signal in this house. Not that it affects the broadcast, because I'm connected to this
by wire.
Yeah, it's by wire. But it's for the baby camera.
Right. Yep.
I freaking keeps fading in, and I don't know. It's like doesn't do this normally. Sometimes I just get a problem. Today it's been fading in and out.
I understand.
Having to freaking read the damn thing.
So let's just get her started.
Okay.
Are you drinking something? What's going on there?
I'm drinking some lemon flavored iced tea.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, November 12th, 2012. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
And, you know, and nothing really happened this last week, so I guess we can just call off the show.
Sam just asked me what I was drinking, and it reminded me a little story about I was a Carnegie Mellon. I, for whatever reason, have always liked the Lipton powdered lemon-flavored iced tea. Okay.
Like, all right. So not like the kind you get as an actual bottle or whatever, but like the powder that you mix with water.
It comes the powder, and I mix it with the water, and it comes like it used to be with, artificial sweetener, so it's, low in calories.
So it sucks.
I like it. I mean, to me, it's always, I don't know.
I know, you've always liked the artificial sweeteners. I can't stand them.
Yeah, I can't stand the regular sweeteners. Yeah, I drink stuff that drives me crazy, okay? So, but I've liked this for years. I mean, this stuff has had to be in existence for, it was in existence when I was in college. Let's put it to you that way. So one day I remember that I was living in these this place called Center Plaza Apartments, if I remember correctly. Okay. And there was a 7-Eleven right across. And one day I had to go pick up something, and I had some plastic cups in the place, and I had bought a container of this and mixed myself one of those. Okay. Now, when you mix it up and you look at it, it creates a head at the top. It looks like it's beer, but it's not. It wasn't. But it looks like it. You could, if you don't put any ice in it. And this person at the place was all pissed off at me because I was walking around with a beer in my hand, which you would do, but I was not. It was
lemonade or iced tea. It was iced tea.
Yeah.
Iced tea.
And I'm getting yelled at because I'm walking around with a beer when I was actually walking around with a glass of iced tea.
Not like you wouldn't walk around with a beer.
Not like I wouldn't walk around with a beer, but, I should be being yelled at for that when I'm actually doing it, not because I'm fucking walking around with iced tea.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was, kind of remember that right now. So, all right, but, the week was just kind of boring, dull, nothing happened. There was a lot of love in the air.
Lots of love. I will say, though, we'll start with the summer. I mean, obviously the election happened, but nothing unexpected happened if you were paying attention.
If you were, apparently, yes. If you followed any science, maths, and were not very fond of conspiracy theory.
Let's just put it the right way. If you did not have your head up your ass.
Yes, if you didn't have your head wedged way far up your ass, the result was not a surprise. Yes.
Yes. It apparently was a surprise to an amazing group of people. There have been some reports even that that within Romney's staff himself and Romney himself were shocked. They couldn't believe it. Now, I have read a counter argument that says they just have to say that, but they really knew. But, you know, look, whatever the case may be, like, look, the bottom line is...
The beautiful one was Karl Rove on TV, where one of his news people from Fox had to go say, dude, are you just doing this math because it's a Republican? You want to just feel better?
Look, I mean, there were... And we went over some of them last week. There were some coherent arguments for why the pollsters might have been wrong. But they were all a little bit of a stretch. I mean, the bottom line here, look, my thing, and I will trumpet myself for a second here, I got 56 out of 56 right.
Well,
And mine was...
I'm going to go and go out even further tooting your horn and my own as a fact that... We called this last December.
Yes, we did.
But you know, anyway.
But look, here's the thing though. My thing was incredibly simple. Like, it's not like I had something complicated going on. I was just taking every single fucking poll I could find of every single state and doing a very simple average on them. Like, there's some other folks who were doing, you know, obviously Nate Silver and Sam Wang and a whole bunch of these other folks doing much more complicated stuff to come to the same conclusion and the same predictions and the same whatever.
And but maybe even in a different race, maybe with some other aspects.
Some of those guys have the advantage that they also provided percentage odds, and I didn't do that. But my point is, however, that even with an extremely simple model, just look at the damn polls. Don't try to overthink it. Just look at the damn polls and see who's winning in each state.
There are Republican-leaning polls. You got Democratic pollsters. You've got, and let's face it, I mean, you know, unless you are of the belief, you know, like a whole bunch of people were, this is an entire conspiracy. No.
Well, look, the bottom line is that the assumption that was being made by the people who were unskewing the polls was that the trend of increasing participation by, you know, non-white males,
right,
was going to go away,
no, it didn't,
and that we were going to somehow go back to, you know, and look, there are multiple things here. One is a trend of increasing participation by those groups. Another is increasing numbers of those groups.
Correct.
And you know, there was some indication, like, if you look at the mid-year elections between 2008 and now, there was some decline in those groups. And so if you based your attendance models on 2010, okay, you could see something. But really, you know, look, it's a fundamental thing. And I mentioned this to somebody who was talking about this. Actually, it was Michael Loomis, who was our guest last week. He messaged me on Facebook and was talking about this. And look, the what matters for predicting election turnout on presidential years is previous presidential years, because frankly, it's a very different kind of person who shows up in off-year elections.
Absolutely, and I will say this. I think.
Go ahead.
I don't think I got. I voted in the last off-year election.
Oh.
Not intentionally, mind you. There was something I know that happened caused me not to be able to poll that day.
I voted in the 2010 election, but there was a bunch of local crap on the ballot in 2011, and I missed that. I things were going on, and I didn't know what was really up in those races, and I didn't have time to research it, and it didn't happen, you know. And so, yeah, it's really the further away from the presidential election years you get, the more motivated the people that are coming out are. It's like the junkies who are coming out.
Yes.
You know, in presidential election years, everybody comes out. Well, not
That's
everybody.
Right.
We still only have like 60% participation or something. But, you know, but it's a much larger group that comes out. And you've got the fundamental demographics that are changing in this country. You had who is the one who freaked out? I was just looking at this quote. There's a good article, by the way, and I believe you actually liked this on Facebook, and somebody else sent it to me, and I was reading it when the show started. Fantasyland, written by Frank Rich in New York.
Yes.
In New York Magazine.
Yes.
And I've read about half of it. But you know, one of the things we mentioned here, he mentioned here, and I've seen mentioned in other places, is who was the guy? Oh damn it! Somebody who basically was on TV the night after an election, bemoaning, was it O'Reilly? Bemoaning the fact that, oh my God, the white male establishment is no longer in the majority.
Right.
Really? This is a surprise? I mean...
Yes.
I mean, look, first of all,
if you live in your own fucking bubble, okay, all right, and it's quite easy to try to do.
Yeah.
You'll fucking believe it, okay? I mean, you know, it just is. Well, I mean, let's face it. I'm looking at these fucking people.
Even that,
if you only read National Review, if you only watch fucking Fox News, if you only, you know, read this shit, right? What do you come to conclude? Everybody else is fucking lying. It is all a fucking conspiracy. It's all fucking bullshit. All the other media is rigged. We're right. They're wrong. You got to believe us and go for it. Now, my question is, okay, when you spend all that fucking time saying that shit, and then, you know, they find out that you're all full of shit, I mean, how many of them go and actually realize, oh, geez, they're full of crap?
Well, and we'll talk about this later in the show. I want to finish up some summary stuff here, but it's so far, it's not looking like a whole bunch of them are going, oh my God, we have to change.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, that's the one thing. I'll tell you even worse. You know, I actually posted something on Facebook regarding specifically, I mean, the election and the fact that, you know, you've got all of these that keep on spewing and repeating this whole thing, like what Romney said at the speech that he gave over here, okay, regarding like all these moochers and whatevers, and those are the guys that fucking vote for this guy, you know, and I'm like, you know, the undereducated and the moochers, and I'm like, dude, look at the demographics. What the fuck are you talking about? Romney won, you know, the demographic he won was the older people, the elderly. They're the ones that are fucking really, for the most part, fucking on Medicare and motherfucking Social Security, which is 80% of our budget. Okay? And he won. Yes. Which states did he win? Damn it. Take the list of the states with the lowest education and the highest federal transfers. Boom, 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 boom. Romney which wins each one. Stop giving me this horse shit, okay? That the lower educated and the lazy ones are the ones that are fucking voting Democrat. Kiss my ass. There is nothing in the data that shows that. Nothing. I mean, it's just this, you know, but they want to believe that, I guess. They want to make themselves believe that, you know, we're the ones that are real Americans, that are really fighting for America, and all those other people aren't. Well, and it's
and here's the thing too, like the demographic trends wouldn't matter that much except for the fact that the Republican Party has been orienting itself more and more and more towards this sort of xenophobic, basically they're actively appealing to that old white male demographic and doing things that, you know, it's almost as if they're actively trying to alienate everybody else.
Yes.
You know, and look, there's a lot of like stuff that the Republicans, I mean, you know, the fiscally conservative message is one that if done right, you know, could appeal across all of these ethnic lines. There's even a social conservative message that could apply across all of these demographic lines. You know, but they're not doing it that way. They're in this, and again, in my conversation back and forth with Michael Loomis, he mentioned that he disagreed with this as one of the minorities that potentially, you know, supposedly the Republicans hate. But like, certainly the perception is out there, you know, if you're a black male, the perception is out there that the Republicans don't speak for you.
Well, but come on. They don't. I mean, I'm sorry. Have you looked at the fucking last couple of Republican conventions? How many fucking people? It's 98% white male.
Well, it's 98% white. It's not 98% white male.
I think almost male. I mean, there were very few women at the convention. There were more women.
There were plenty of women.
Actual delegates?
Yeah, there were plenty of women. You don't have to embellish to make this story work. You know.
Okay. All right. Good point. But I thought there was a comment also. Maybe not this last convention, but on the previous convention at the very small amount of women.
Let's just put it this way: women were probably underrepresented. They probably weren't 51%.
Okay.
But
so you got a situation where they're alienating women because this is the other group they fucking alienated in this fucking election. Let's face it, women. Okay. I mean, fuck.
Although that was honestly, that was less Romney than some of the other Republicans around there. But I undoubtedly brushed off on Romney.
I know it wasn't Romney. Okay, I know it wasn't Romney. But the party itself found no fucking problem with putting up these goddamn candidates. Okay.
Let's be a little fair here. Like one of these examples was Aiken, and officially the Republican Party withdrew their support. You know, so
one's an oddity, two's a fucking trend. You know,
look, I mean, the problem is that there are the average median Republican may not believe all this crap, but there are extremists that do, and they're for the most part.
Well, as long as they don't make a scene of themselves. Maybe the rape thing, maybe not that part, but I'm sorry, the whole Moocher story?
Yes.
Fuck okay. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Bottom line, let's wrap up
the segment. Oh, yeah, Obama won by exactly the margin expected.
Yes.
I had this 332 to 206, I believe it was. And so did almost everybody else. You know?
The polls were rigged and all this bullshit or whatever were all fucking...
Pollsters, for the most part, I mean, and there's some that are better and some that are worse, but for the most part, pollsters, it's their job. Their job is to get this right.
I think, you know, I summarized this to my father, who actually voted for Romney, by the way, and I summarized it to him, and he was pretty accepting about this. I said, dude, you know what? This whole thing with everybody fucking pillaring, like Nate Silver, all these guys, this is like you showing up to your accountant, him telling you owe $50,000 in taxes, and you say, you fucking liar! You're rigging it! You're lying! Like, dude, I'm just the accountant, man. I mean, you know, it's just, look, these are the numbers. You're fucking rigging this. I mean, and that's what the Republicans were. They were pissed off at the accountants because they didn't like the fucking results. I'm like, hey, it is what it is. Get over it. Okay? So.
Yeah. And so we got the election we expected. I mean, Romney did make it close for like a week.
Yeah, but, about a week.
But he was never, ever, ever this entire year in the lead.
Nope.
I mean, it was closer than 2008, but that ain't enough. And now, however, I will say this before we go on from talking about this election to starting talking about future stuff, which we'll do in the next segment. But look. The popular vote margin, this is still like, okay, Obama looks like he's winning like 51, 52%, something like that. The final numbers aren't in yet. But Romney's got 48% of the vote.
Oh, no, I agree.
The one thing we have to remember here is like we can spout on about demographic trends and blah, 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 and we'll talk more about how the Republicans may or may not react to that in the future. But look, the bottom line is, you know, this ain't like, and I posted on Sunday a 100 years of context showing sort of the flow between Republicans and Democrats in presidential elections over the last 100 years. The last few elections have been close. This isn't even remotely like the blowouts that we've seen in years past. I mean, you know, it used to be fairly common for the winning candidate to get, you know, 55-60% of the vote.
Right.
That hasn't happened since Ronald Reagan in 1984. You know, and so we, you know, you're giving the line of, and I'm agreeing for the most part of like how out of touch the Republicans are, but they can't be that out of touch. 48% of the public voted
for
them.
I agree. I'm with you on that. I mean, the fact that is the margin, but the reality is that because of how our system is, you know, the reality is that, you know, look, you remember the states, okay, how they're broken out. They still, it's like, yeah, you're losing each battle by very little, but you know, you're losing so many states with large populations.
I agree in terms of the election. I mean, look, the Electoral College is what it is. I'm making a larger point here, which is in terms of the population, almost half of the people in this country thought and feel to this day that Romney was the better choice, and to some degree are buying what the Republicans are selling. So it's not like they're completely, you know, if the Republicans were really completely off the reservation and talking about stuff that was just crazy shit, that was so far off of the mainstream that they'd be getting 30% of the vote.
Okay, I will say this. There was somebody that said this very well. Think about the fact that at this election cycle, they still lost, despite the fact that they spent more money than they had ever, ever spent convincing people to go out there. Okay, all right?
Yeah.
Now, if you think about it this way, I think the one thing that somebody said, Jesus, imagine if we hadn't had the Citizens United decision. I mean, and we wouldn't have been able to spend this kind of money. I mean, how bad the result would have been. Okay?
Maybe. I mean, you know, the Democrats spent a lot of money too, though. I mean,
yeah, but they still got outspent. No, yeah, but they still got massively outspent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can see that might be an effect. I could also see the effect of like what would Obama's margin have been if Obama wasn't black? I mean, because I hate to say it, but that is an effect in this election.
I don't think it made that much of a difference because
I think it's probably a 2-4% difference.
You think it's a couple of points?
I think it's a couple of points.
I don't know, because let's face it, blacks have historically consistently voted heavily Democratic. Now, what you're saying
I'm talking about the racist white vote who won't vote for a black guy.
Oh.
I'm talking about people who are voting for Romney because Obama was black.
Well, that's true. That's true too. But then you think about on the other side, let's face it, I think he did increase black turnout and minority turnout substantially.
But it's also scary to me. I've seen quoted in a couple of points if you look at just the white vote, Romney had the largest percentage of the white vote of any candidate for like 20 years.
Which is one of the reasons why we keep talking about the fact that maybe, you know, the margin in the end isn't like, you know, that big like right now in the election. But if you look at what the fucking demographic trends call for the future, I mean, you know, you're a Republican. You're looking that 20 years from now, you're fucked.
Well, and
yeah, I mean,
this is a good point. This is a good spot to take our break, and we'll come back and talk about what the Republican Party looks like in the future and what their options are and what the future looks like. So we'll take a break and we'll come back after this message and we'll start talking about that. Enjoy this breaky thing.
Breaky.
There it is. I'm trying to find the little stop button on my stupid recorder and I'd moved a window and I was getting all confused. And where the hell is it? Anyway. Time for a break.
Do do do.
And we're back. So Republicans going for your, make your point, and then I'll do a little bit of a counter argument, because I think I know where you're going with this.
But well, I think, you know, the point that I'm making is that right now, given, like, you know, it is projected that over the next, you know, number of years, the largest dominant, you know, like, demographic groups is not going to be white. Okay. Yep. It is going to be Hispanic, Black, you know, Americans. Okay.
Yeah, because O'Reilly's statement about the white elite establishment not being in the majority might be true, but whites are still in the majority barely for a few more years.
For a few more years, but let's face it. I mean, if you plan on continuing to appeal in elections to only that demographic, I mean, you're basically boxed yourself into a corner. I mean, you're not picking up anywhere nearly how much votes you should be picking up those of demographics. I mean, you're getting slaughtered, okay, in the emerging demographics. I mean, that is not a trend that, in the long run, I mean, if you want to maintain a sustainable Republican Party, you can't keep doing that.
You're
fucking, you know, putting yourself out of business.
They could start having more babies.
Not likely. Not likely. I mean,
I think, and I posted something along these lines, I believe in my blog post Sunday, but that you're absolutely right. If the Republicans continue a strategy that basically says we only have to care about these issues that I mean, it's hard to say this because the Republicans will claim that they're not only appealing to white males. They're appealing to everybody. And the message they're having is just as good for, you know, Latinos and Blacks and women and gays and blah, 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 you know. And it's just, but those groups tend not to agree with that. Right. I mean, there's certainly some people in each of those groups that do, but the tendency is against that. But the reality seems to be, and if you look at the exit poll numbers out of here that sort of break the vote down by demographics, it certainly seems like the current way that the Republican Party is positioning itself is appealing to these demographics that are shrinking. And they are not successfully selling themselves to the demographics that are increasing. Now, the caveat to this in terms of, oh, well, this means the Republican Party is doomed. Doomed, I tell you. The flip side of that is all it takes for them is to ditch some of the people on the extreme area that are alienating some of these folks,
but it's
and
not
change their
some.
Message.
It's a, well, it's I know a the, substantial the, group.
The problem is right now, it's what everybody calls the base.
Right.
Is this core group that is feeling this way, and they're the ones in control of the party right now. In order to start winning again, you know, the Republican Party has to ditch some of those folks and say, we don't give a fuck what Rush Limbaugh says or Pat Buchanan or you know, Santorum or, you know, any of these folks or the freaking Tea Party. We don't care what these folks think. We want a pragmatist who has some of, you know, is fiscally conservative, is more socially conservative, but is somewhat moderate and can appeal to these.
Listen, like, if right now, say for the next candidacy, if the guy that comes out says that I'm for immigration amnesty.
Yeah,
and
which, by the way, even 4 years ago, John McCain was in favor of paths to citizenship and all that. George
right.
W. Bush was in favor of this
right,
stuff.
Right. I know, but say,
this is not alien to Republicans.
But you got to remember that, you know. But this
it's
is
just
like
antithetical this cycle.
Right. So he is willing to compromise on taxes.
Yeah.
In order
which,
to
by the way,
the
also.
Something. Which they made everybody on the fucking Congress signed as no tax pledge.
This no tax pledge from what's his name? That guy. who was Norquist, Grover Norquist,
right,
no
right.
tax pledge. And they made all the presidential candidates on the Republican side raise their hand and said they wouldn't even agree for a 10-to-1. Right. You know, this is the kind of bullshit that, like, I mean, you know, your last few Republican, I mean, they all deify Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan raised fucking taxes. I mean, he also cut taxes, but he had a reasonable mix, and when you needed more taxes and more revenue, he did it.
Yeah.
And of course George W. Bush arguably lost. Senior did too.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, like I was explaining to somebody, because
and arguably
just,
lost re-election,
you know, kind of funny.
Of it, but.
You know, so Romney also was pledging to increase our defense budget. You know, I kind of like pointed out to somebody, you know, one of the guys that all of a sudden came back shocked and said, "Oh shit, I didn't know that, dude. Do you realize that we fucking outspend fucking everybody fucking else in the world by
a huge margin."
You know, like a huge margin. I mean, you know, and that there is no way to cut the deficit without it. You know, yeah, it's all these moochers. I mean, look, here's the numbers. I mean, Romney wanted to raise the fucking defense budget even more, and I'm like, fuck, how are you going to cut the deficit?
While cutting taxes.
Right.
This is where everybody comes back to math, math, math. I mean, look, what do Republicans need in order to get back on track is, I'll tell you what, they have to cut the anti-science bullshit. They have to cut the anti-reality bullshit. So, like, you know, look, do the freaking math and stop pretending. There is a conservative story to be told about being fiscally responsible.
Agree.
You know, they're not telling it. They're
lying to it.
Yeah, there is a story to be told there, but you can't do it by pretending things will work that just flat out, when you run the numbers, don't come out.
By the way, I was looking at the margin of victory, by the way, of all the presidential elections, by the way. So this ranks definitely as, like, I mean, narrower elections than these.
Number 7 at the moment.
Carter Ford, okay, was actually narrower, okay. Carter won by 2 points. Bush and Kerry in 2004 was narrower, okay.
Obviously Bush Gore.
Yep. Well, that's further down the list.
Yeah, I know.
Nixon, and I'm going to talk about the ones in the 1900s because the 1800s with the laws were different, and I'm not going to go into those. Nixon and Hubert Humphrey, okay, was 0.7% margin. Wow, didn't realize it was that close. Wow, Kennedy and Nixon.
Yeah, Kennedy. Wow. No, look, there were lots of squeakers out there, but you know, as I pointed out in my post on Sunday, the number close elections has been much more common now than it was before. It happened, you know, between 1912 and 1988, elections decided by a margin of less than 3% happened three times. It's happened three times since 1988 too, in a much shorter amount of time. But I don't know. What was your point?
No, the point is that it's exactly what you were talking about, the demographic. I mean, in terms of that, I mean, you know, that.
I was getting to what the Republicans actually have to do in order to start winning again. They have to ditch their sort of demonification. There you go. Of anybody who's not sort of a traditional American. You know, ditch that, like, you know, kill the, you know, the anti-immigrant hue. And they'll say, we're only anti-illegal immigrants. Legal immigrants are fine. But, you know, the language that's used, you know, ends up painting a really broad brush and lots of people get offended. You know, loosen up on immigration, accept that, you know, they're people that, you know, brown Americans are real Americans. You know, give up the Norman Rockwell 1950s image of small town America with a bunch of white guys. That's not the America of the future. That's like got to be number one. You got to start reaching out and making arguments that reach, you know, Latinos and blacks and Asians and all kinds of other folks. You know, America, you know, is the big mixing pot. You have all kinds of folks. You have them all, and so you got to start there. But then, like I said, ditch the anti-science, anti-knowledge stuff. Come on, face reality. And you can still, within that, have a real fiscally conservative message. You can even have a socially conservative message if you want, that sort of says, you know, hey, we're moving too fast, porn is bad, whatever. You know, I don't know. But you have to do it in a way that doesn't immediately tell, like, half of the American public that they're not wanted.
Yes. Well, I don't know. We'll see about that. I mean,
this brings up the discussion that, okay, well, what'll actually happen in 2016 now? You know, are the Republicans going to come to their senses and nominate somebody who's more moderate and more inclusive? I mean, there's lots of talk of Rubio. There's talk of Jeb Bush. There are a handful of other, you know, yeah, the Rubio ploy is to get Latinos. The Jeb Bush is to get more moderate. Are they going to do that, or are they going to, like, go for Santorum or Paul Ryan or somebody like that, who's just going to, you know, I gotta think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying that they lost because Romney wasn't a real conservative, or wasn't conservative enough.
Oh, there's definitely a lot of that. I mean, that was one of the first things I heard the next day. I was like, one person I know that is very diehard. And I was like, when I heard that, well, we're going to just have to try even harder the next time. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. I'm like, for God's sakes. I'm like, okay, good luck. I went and I gave my thumbs up and I said, well, good luck with that strategy.
I mean, does anybody really think that, like, Rick Santorum would have done better against Obama than Romney?
Or I'm Newt sure fucking Gingrich? People.
Really?
You know what? Maybe. You know what they need is a fucking, like, Walter Mondale moment. All right? I think that's what they need.
Well, and I've said this before, and we were talking back and forth with our friend Rebecca in email. I've said before that I think the Republicans are not going to turn around until they get slaughtered. Where it's yes. Not even close.
Right. When they lose by like 10 plus million votes, okay, I get, you know, because otherwise they'll just say, you see, we're almost there. We're almost there. We almost got it. You see, but we just, you know, we just weren't pure enough.
And frankly,
we nominated another one of these, like, this guy was too moderate still, you know. Yeah.
And frankly, this is what happened with the Democrats.
Yes.
I mean, the Democrats were out in the wilderness, with the exception of Jimmy Carter's term, where Jimmy Carter just barely won, by the way. It was one of those close elections.
Yeah.
The Democrats were out in the wilderness at the presidential level from 1968 until Bill Clinton.
Right.
You know, and how did they win again? Bill Clinton was all about triangulation and moderation and figuring out the third way and not being the die-hard, you know, liberal Democrat of years past.
Right.
And guess what? They got that moderate message and they won and they came back in. Now, did they win for the folks who were longing for, you know, the liberal days of yore? That wasn't coming back.
No, absolutely not
but,
at all.
But the Democrats as a party were able to come back by moving. And that's what has to happen for the Republicans to win again.
I think that may be. And I think that, you know, I think that a lot of the people are just going to freaking, like, just go and, like, put the hammer down and say, we just were not pure enough. We got to go pure. And, you know, yeah, I think that's going to be the first reaction.
I mean, I jokingly said, as soon as Romney won the nomination, officially, like, you know, clinched the nomination, I'm like, and that immediately makes Santorum the front runner for 2016 because he came in second. And the Republicans always go for, like, the next guy in line. And so Santorum's next in line. So, I mean, you know, yes, I know it's way premature to be talking about 2016, but we're going to do it. And we're going to talk about the Democrats, too, in a few minutes. But you know, I think that's the direction, and I don't know if it'll be Santorum or if it'll be Ryan or if it'll be somebody else, or, you know, but, or maybe they'll try to mix it and find someone who really has all of the really right wing social views, but has a little bit of an ethnic twinge to them, you know, Bobby Jindal to, or, or, or I don't
Alan
know,
West.
Or Alan West, or how is Rubio politically? I don't even fucking know. Is he moderate?
He's definitely not in the far right.
No. Okay,
so, he's a little bit close. He's closer to the center.
So like Rubio, maybe Rubio's a winning proposition for them. I don't know. What do you?
It could be. I mean, I would you're right on that. I mean, because Rubio is not Michelle Bachmann or the fucking bozos. No, he's not. So I mean that is, you know, that is an option. Or maybe they'll go with Paul Ryan.
Yeah, and you know, of course there's talk of Ron Paul's son Rand Paul running as well, to sort of give that sort of libertarian bent type things, and we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I think the 2016 race on the Republican side is going to be another very interesting race. Like this year, everybody knew Romney was going to be it. I mean, really, I mean, none of these other guys, all of the other people who could have been serious contenders decided not to run. And frankly, they decided not to run because they figured Obama would probably win. But, you know, all of the other jokers besides Romney who ran had fatal flaws to them that would make it so that they would be very difficult, if not impossible, for them to run to win. Like I like Johnson. He was running initially and dropped out. I liked Huntsman. He was running initially.
Yeah,
and
those
ran
were
out.
Not bad. I mean, those were good candidates. Mitt Romney of 2004 was actually. You know what? Let me tell you something. If you had the Massachusetts versus Mitt Romney, probably would have considered voting for him.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing too, and I mentioned this online too. If Romney had consistently been that moderate Republican from the very beginning, I don't know if he could have won the nomination, but I suspect he still could have won the nomination.
I suspect he still could have. He hadn't been dragged into this whole thing.
It would have been a harder fight. Like this time around, he was ahead from the very beginning in the nomination battle. Like nobody else really came close. There were a few moments where it looked like maybe he wouldn't be able to get a majority and win outright, but he was always ahead. He was always way ahead. If he had remained sort of the moderate Romney, it would have been a tougher battle to get the nomination, but I think in the end he probably still would have got it. Mm. You know? And that Romney, if he'd managed to keep his Massachusetts moderate persona, instead of tacking far right and then having to do this, shake the etch-a-sketch at the first debate, he could have won this.
He could have, but he didn't choose to do that.
And that's because the Republican base demanded him to move right on everything.
And he bent over and did.
And he bent over and did. So I don't know. I think the 2016 race will be interesting. The most interesting outcome, of course, that we can always hope for, that would just be awesome to watch, is the Republican Party actually splits into pieces, where they just cannot come to agreement because you've got the fiscal conservatives, the social conservatives, the libertarian conservatives, and they just cannot agree on anybody, and it just falls apart, and you end up running more than one candidate. That would be fun to watch. And actually, I speculated somewhere. I don't remember if I put this online or not. But it's actually an interesting strategy to win. Because if you actually had three candidates getting electoral votes, let's say the Republicans broke in half and you had a moderate Republican who was able to win support in a number of states, and you had a super conservative Republican that was able to win in the South, and the moderate was able to actually take some states from the Democrats, and none of the three of them got a majority in the Electoral College. You throw it to the House. The Republicans in the House are super conservative. You elect that super conservative regardless of the Electoral College. But it's not going to get that fun.
I can only hope for an election
that was that fun. But, you know, I mean, frankly, that's kind of what happened to the Republicans way back at the beginning of the century in 1912, when Theodore Roosevelt ran as a progressive. He split the Republican vote, Well, this in that case, that split the Republican vote and the Democrats took over. But there is a way you can do that and have the Republicans come out ahead. But anyway, Republicans splitting up would be very fun to watch. Unlikely, though. I think what's really going to happen is there's going to be, quote unquote, a fight for the soul of the Republican Party. And it'll be even more violent in 2016 than it was this time around, because unlike this time around, you're going to have real Republicans running that are, you know, Romney was really one of, again, like there was Huntsman and blah, 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 but Romney was the only one that really was a contender this time around. But next time around, you're going to see all of the folks who stayed on the sidelines in 2012, who everybody keeps talking about, they're going to be jumping in. Plus there's a newer crop of younger folks coming in. It's going to be a fun time. So we'll see what the next, you know, it'll take a couple years to sort out, but I mean, you're going to start, you've already seen people positioning themselves for 2016.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
Christie in New Jersey, you know, he's already positioning himself. So's Rubio. So's a bunch of these guys. So it's already started. So anyway, let's take another break. And then I guess let's talk about Democrats for a little bit. And at some point, do not let me end the show without forgetting. There was a bunch of feedback this week. I just want to mention the folks who sent feedback in. Anyway, here we go. Another break. And then we'll talk Democrats. We'll be back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show. Which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And, hey, I'll keep you in mind. And maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne, if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. And here we are. So, Democrats, and I can't believe, like, I was actually joking when I ended our show last week that said, and next week we'll talk about 2016. But look,
of course we're going to talk about 2016.
Here we are.
What the heck?
Yeah, what else is there to talk about? Come on. Yeah, what are we going to talk about? Petraeus? Maybe. But who the fuck cares? Anyway, 2016. And this will lead into an argument that Yvonne and I were having an email offline over the course of the week. But the two folks that everybody mentioned.
Okay, it's just that okay, all right. I didn't correct you because I was having too much fun with the argument. But yes, I was exaggerating with the use of the word ancient. Okay,
okay. You know, but nobody listening has context yet. Come on, we'll get to that. and that's not a correction. That's a clarification. anyway, look, we were talking, the two obvious candidates that everybody talks about are Biden and Hillary Clinton, because Biden's vice president and vice presidents run a lot. Hillary Clinton ran against Obama, obviously, and had a lot of diehard supporters who really love her, and she's done a good job as Secretary of State. Even I was, like, incredibly anti-Hillary, you know, in 2008, as those of you who listen then remember. But you know, she's done an awesome job. She's proven herself in a number of different ways. And, you know, I would not be opposed to Hillary if she ran, you know, this time around. But here's the situation in both of these cases. First of all, both of them have repeatedly said they're not interested in running. Second of all, I looked up their ages. You know, if Biden ran and won election, he would be
he's about to turn.
He would be 70.
Jesus Christ, is this right? He's about to turn 70 in 9 days.
Yes, that is correct. He would be 74 when he was inaugurated.
You know,
let me finish. Joe Biden
does not look 70. I had not looked up his age.
I put it in the email to you.
What? He doesn't look. I know a lot of other 70-year-olds. They don't look like that.
I'll be honest. Until you brought him up, I had not looked it up. I vaguely knew he was getting older, but I didn't know how old he was. I looked it up. Look, if Joe Biden won, he would be 74 when he was inaugurated. The oldest person inaugurated for their first term so far was Ronald Reagan. He was 69.
Yep.
And so he would be. I forget the exact timing of their birthdays, but he'd be 4 or 5 years older than Ronald Reagan was. And people were talking, of course, about how Ronald Reagan was too old at the time. And by the end of his term, lots of people were talking about how he was too old.
Well, he would fucking fall asleep in frickin' cabinet meetings, for God's sakes.
And before we talk about the argument on Biden, which I'm sure we'll get into because this is what Yvonne and I were arguing about all week, Hillary Clinton is just a couple years younger. She would be younger.
She's 65.
She would be younger. She would be younger than Ronald Reagan when she was inaugurated, but she would be the second oldest president ever inaugurated.
Now, in credit to the fact that she is a woman, let's face it, women
live longer.
Longer than men. So
yes. And so Yvonne's point. Well, why don't you make your own point about how health and longevity and stuff.
Well, the main point that I was trying to make, and I know that we went through a whole bunch of different like rigmaroles about this or whatever, is that the percentage of population that we have right now that is over 60 and above is substantially larger than what it was like, you know, even like 30 years ago, even like go back 60, 70, 80 years ago. And my point is that because of that, it makes it a lot more easy for people to assume that somebody that is older will be going into a job versus how it was when Ronald Reagan became president. Because I remember that the subject of Ronald Reagan's age was like, oh my God, Jesus Christ. And let's face it, Ronald Reagan was not Mr. like, how do I – he wasn't Mr. Energy. Okay,
he wasn't, and he also even at 69, he looked like an old 69.
Yeah, he looked like
Joe Biden doesn't.
I mean,
look
so
70.
That's not the whole thing about it. I'm just like I think that people have a much different perception of that, like right now, because there are so many more people that are age 60 and above that actually work actively, like right now,
and vote.
So therefore, the perception of somebody, you know, if they decided to run, I don't think that they would get the same level of static or that they would have gotten like 30, 50, 60 years ago where people looked at it and it would have said, oh my God, what the fuck? I mean, are you kidding me? He's running. He's freaking 70. Are you kidding?
And my response to this was yes. I mean, we argued about some details, but fundamentally, yes, things have changed since 1980, but not that much. A 70-year-old running for office would still be in the campaign. It would still be a deal. It would still be a question that was asked. It would be a big deal. And I said, especially if the Republicans ran a young guy, you know,
how old was Bob Dole?
Oh, and well, age was certainly an issue in that election.
But I don't think – but that's not why he lost. I mean,
It's not why he lost, but the fact that he was old –
It's not why he lost. So it's 89 now, so 79 minus 6. Shit, he was going to be 73 when he got inaugurated.
It was not the only factor in his loss, but I will say his age was a factor. First, it was a question that was brought up a lot. Second, it influenced the campaign. I mean, if you – and we're going to get into – oh, my God. We're talking about the 1996 election, really? But look, if you remember, one of the key moments in the campaign is the Republican convention. Bob Dole made a speech about how he was a bridge to the America that we still believe exists from the past. I forget the exact words of the damn speech, but
I'm kind of like having a vague recollection about this.
He made a speech that basically said he was a bridge to the, you know, I wish I could really quickly come up with the exact words, but the bottom line is, regardless of his exact words, the day after the damn convention, the immediate response from the Democrats is, oh, you're a bridge to the past? Guess what? We're a bridge to the future!
You know, damn, I like Bob Dole. Come on, he was a genius.
I liked Bob Dole too, but you had this dynamic of this young, vigorous Bill Clinton, who was like the third youngest president ever, third or fourth youngest president ever inaugurated. I was looking at this list the other day too, versus someone who would be the oldest president ever inaugurated if he won. And the contrast was dramatic. And it's like, and I think you'd get that again, even if the Republicans nominated a young, dynamic guy, and again, who was a little bit more moderate, who knew how to appeal to youth, who knew how to appeal to minorities, then the Democrats would be fucking insane to nominate Joe Biden, or for that matter, Hillary. I mean, like, you right now, you're taking advantage of these demographics. You're appealing to youth. You're appealing to minorities. You're appealing to whatever. You don't continue that trend by dominating an elderly white guy.
By the way, I will say this in Bob Dole's defense. He's still alive, number one. Okay, yes. All right. And, you know, I guess he's had a hip replacement. He's gotten some blood thinners. But let's face it, I mean, Bill Clinton had to get a fucking triple bypass, too.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So, you know.
And you know, Bill Clinton used to like McDonald's. And he's a vegan now. So, whatever.
That's fucking crazy. But anyway, all right. But, you know.
But anyway, look. McDonald's
part, but actually both.
So for the, anyway. The Democrats, my argument is, I think if, right now, both of these guys say they don't want it. If Hillary said, I'm running, I think the Democrats would hand her that nomination on a platter.
I agree. I don't think there would be a lot of controversy about it. I think there was controversy before, but I think that there would be zero controversy. I think she would walk. I mean, she would walk away with it.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
If Hillary decides she wants to do this, she's got the Democratic nomination.
Absolutely.
I strongly feel that. Now, right now, what she says is, I'm tired. I've been doing this for years. I've put in my service. I want to retire.
And I can believe that, like, that she's feeling like that right now. I mean, let's face it. It hasn't been.
But
you know.
Oh, I agree. But here's the thing.
She got handed to what she came into.
She is.
I mean, it's been 4 years of this, plus the campaign before, plus. But
here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen here. She has said she is stepping down from Secretary of State in the new administration. She'll probably stay on however long it takes to get somebody new nominated and in. But you know, sometime early next year, she's going to be out. Then she's going to go kick back. She's going to write a book. She's going to make some money speaking, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, there's going to be this growing chorus of draft Hillary, who are going to be saying, come on, Hillary, you need to run. You need to run. Do it for the good of the party. Do it, do it, do it. We need you. We need you. And meanwhile, she's going to get some rest. She's going to relax. She's going to go on a few vacations. She's going to kick back a little bit. She'll be reinvigorated. By the time we get to the point where she really needs to start making that call in 2014, maybe she's ready again.
You're right.
You know, and so we'll see. Now, I still, you know, I think Hillary's a better sell than Biden. She's a few years younger. She's still getting up there, but she's got a lot of goodwill behind her. And so I think she's a better sell than Biden. If neither Hillary nor Biden run, then who the fuck do you have on the Democratic side?
I don't know.
And so as part of the thread that, you know, that Yvonne and I had, I pulled up, you know, most presidents, this isn't an exclusive list, but almost all presidents come from the ranks of senators or governors. sometimes ex-senators and ex-governors, sometimes VPs. But if we exclude Biden, and you know, we haven't had someone who hasn't at least been one.
You're breaking up, Sam.
Sorry, any better? Blah, blah, blah.
No,
no,
no. It just turned really bad.
Okay, we'll hang up. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'll call Yvonne again. And we're back. Hopefully you can hear me better. If not, I apologize. So I was saying, if neither Hillary nor Biden run, who do we have left? Almost all presidents are either senators, governors, VPs. It's been a long time since we've had anybody who wasn't one of those. Early part of the century, I think we had somebody who was a representative. But, you know, basically that's the pool we get from. And if you look at the current slate of Democratic senators and governors, and if you restrict it to like, I also restricted it somewhat. I said, you know, most presidents are elected in their 50s. And so if you look at senators and governors who are in the age range that will be in their 50s 4 years from now, you got a bunch of no names for the most part. They're like a handful of people I recognize because I pay attention, but it's not a lot of people.
Well, but I mean,
even,
you know, we're 4 years out. I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, the one thing is that, let's face it. I mean, what had Bill Clinton done before he ran for that convention? I think he gave this awful keynote speech.
Yep.
At the ADA convention, which was a fucking disaster, for God's sakes. I mean, I was like, I remember that I watched it. I wanted to kill myself. Okay. It was so long and bad. Okay.
And that's the thing. I actually compared this. I said, what 2016 will look like on the Democratic side if neither Hillary nor Biden run is it'll look like 1992. It'll look like what you had in 1992. Was that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, or was that the year before?
That was
88, I think. But anyway, like, you're going to have a bunch of people that when you start the election cycle in 2014, most people who aren't political junkies won't know who the fuck these people are.
Yeah.
And over the course of the following 2 years, a couple of them will start standing out, and then one of them will win. But, you know, if those two big names don't run, I mean, there are certainly a bunch of names we could pull out of the hat. If we think about it a little bit, we can pick up some Democrats who are making names for themselves. We have what's her name, who was just elected in Massachusetts. We have the senator who replaced Hillary Clinton in New York.
Right.
And I'm forgetting both their names. I'm sorry.
What about the guy that replaced Obama? Who's that guy that replaced Obama in Illinois? No, that didn't work out well. The first guy. Yeah, no.
No, but yeah, I guess Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts. I'm forgetting the name of the senator in New York. You have like Cory Booker. You have that other guy the guy who gave the keynote speech at the convention. You've got a bunch of people you could name. But the problem is, I mean, Yvonne and I pay attention, and these names aren't tripping off our tongues.
No, they're not. I mean, they're definitely not. And that's what I think. I mean, this is a situation. I mean, you're going to have a wide open field. And you're going to have a wide open field, really, if you think about it, for the first time on both sides, if you really think about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we kind of had a wide open field in 2008 on both sides and made it very interesting. But we're going to have that again. If neither Hillary nor Biden run, we are once again going to have a wide open field on both sides in 2016, which means it's going to be a lot of fun.
It would have been interesting, I guess, in 2008 if Darth Vader had run for VP, but, you know, oh well. I mean, for president, but, you know, oh well.
Yeah, well, and I think Biden has sort of put himself in that model, not in the Darth Vader model, but in the same kind of thing where he's like, you know, I'm getting up there, I'm not going to run for president. You
know? I mean, Dick Cheney had to be wheeled around a fucking wheelchair for God's sake, you know,
By the way, we've had complaints again about our swearing, so I apologize. FDR was also wheeled around in a wheelchair. I mean, come on.
Yeah, nobody knew about it. I mean, not the public. I mean, he avoided anybody seeing him in a public like that.
And the wheelchair and Dick Cheney on Inauguration Day for Obama was – there was something specific going on. It wasn't like that was his usual state. But
no, he had recently had gotten the whole ventricular thing changed. But he was in really bad shape.
He was. But anyway, but look, the bottom line point is it's going to be an interesting 4 years. And like we said with the Republicans, today – you are going to start seeing people positioning themselves for 2016. On the Democratic side, you're going to see people holding back a little bit because no matter what Hillary has said so far, they want to know for sure, is she really not going to do it? You know, and they're going to hold back a little bit waiting to know that answer. But you know, it has begun. 2016 has begun. You know, we have a perpetual election cycle in the United States, unlike some other places where you don't think about this for a few years after the election, it's already started.
Well, some places you have presidencies for 6 years and shit. You know, we definitely don't have that. That's for sure.
No, we don't.
All right. Anyway, hey, you know, since we've been running like pretty long, I said we go to feedback because, you know, otherwise we'll forget about going. So let's go to the feedback since you mentioned a little bit that.
Okay.
Apparently-
and I don't have a lot to mention specific quotations, but I just wanted to thank a bunch of people, and most of the feedback actually this time around was regarding my presidential election coverage with the Electoral College stuff and all of that kind of stuff. So I just want to thank the positive comments I got from Jen, Chris, and Bruce on Twitter. You know, Rebecca and Chris emailed us about it. Mike Loomis, who was our guest last week, emailed me on Facebook. And his feedback was more around, well, looks like you were right. and so, you know, thanks for acknowledging it, I guess. We'd be glad to have you on again sometime to talk about something else. I also had feedback from a couple people in person, from Paolo in person, and I also got an email from Matt, who's a regular listener of ours, thanking me for the coverage. So I just wanted, you know, without quoting all of you and everything you guys said, I just wanted to thank all of you for your feedback about that kind of stuff, thank Michael Loomis again for being a guest last week and for engaging in email. It's good to have, even when there's someone that we don't necessarily agree with, it's good to have that conversation because it's sort of a shame when, you know, we talk and we have no one to argue the other side. So it's good to have that occasionally. So we also had, you know, Marcus, who was going to be on our show and had to cancel, and we had Loomis. Thank you as well. And it would be great to have any of you on again to sort of talk the Republican side of things. So let us know. What else?
Anything else?
I know you want to wrap it up, but I did have one other thing I wanted to ask you about specifically, because I know you have some insight here.
Okay.
The Puerto Rican referendum on statehood.
Well, look.
I've been
actually trying to parse this
race
for the last few weeks, because here, let me. It's a little bit. It's quite convoluted. Okay, because the ballot wasn't straight up like that. Okay, all right. The ballot went: do you want to stay with the current status? Yes or no? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't like if you said no, then pick these three, because she could vote that yes or no, and then they would ask, give you three different choices for status that you could have in the future, okay? Which was, one was becoming a state, the second one was becoming independent, the third one was something they called, it was some mix of being a state and a current state right now, okay? All right?
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. And, you know, it just went and statehood won that second piece. Okay, all right.
Bottom line, are we at the point where Puerto Rico is going to submit to Congress a request to become a state?
You see, I don't know. Because the problem is that even though I saw that that option got the 60%, okay, the yes and no answer had about 1.7 million votes. Okay, all right. The three options below only got 1.4 million. So that's 60% on that bottom one. Was not over 50% of the total people that answered the yes and no question. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. And here's the other kicker regarding this. It was the governor's election, okay? All right? So the two main parties are one that advocates statehood, the one that advocates staying as they are right now. The statehood party lost.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a governor right now who isn't for statehood, even though that, you know, supposedly they won that referendum. So I honestly don't see how anything with this is going to happen.
Going to move forward. Well, because the other thing, of course, is what would happen in the Congress. Like, because admitting a new state has to pass both houses of Congress, I believe, by a simple majority.
Yes.
And I think the president has to sign, too, just like a law.
You know? I believe so.
Anyway, so, and what's happened in the past, by the way, it's been a long time since we admitted a new state. It was like 1916 or something?
No, it was more recent than that.
58,
Hawaii,
58.
It was Hawaii.
62?
Yeah.
Something like
Hawaii
that.
Hawaii and Alaska.
Yeah, I forgot about Hawaii. Everyone always forgets about Hawaii and Alaska. And before that was Arizona and blah, blah, blah. But
right.
Traditionally, the states have generally, not always, but generally been admitted in even numbers. And the reason is you admit one Democratic state and one Republican state. So you don't affect the balance of power.
Right.
And so, like, Puerto Rico has its own power parties. Would they be Republican or Democratic at this point? I mean,
they're not clearly aligned. No, you can't take those parties and just say that this one's Democrat and this one's Republican. No, like, you know, you've got like people like I know a lot of people like the statehood the governor with the statehood party. That guy was aligned with the Republicans. They kept talking about him as a Republican.
Let's just ask this question. We've just talked about how badly the Republicans are doing at appealing to Latinos. Could they win Puerto Rico? Could Romney have won Puerto Rico if he was on the ballot?
Fuck no. He would have got crushed.
So, you know, I think if the Republicans didn't have the bad PR amongst Latinos, they might have a shot. I don't know if they changed the way they, I don't know, but right now it'd be a Democratic state.
Yes.
So, like, you know, people have talked about, you know, maybe admit Puerto Rico and D.C. and have Puerto Rico be the Republican state in D.C., but it doesn't look like the way. Because D.C.,
no.
Of course, would be solid Democratic if it ever was admitted as a state.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it voted like 80-90% for Obama, for God's sakes.
Yeah. So I don't see, like, the Republican House would have to agree. So even if the request was submitted, I don't see it happening right now.
I don't see it happening. No.
And you know, if you had to do, I mean, and what are they going to do if it looks like a Democratic state? Where are they going to find a Republican state? American Samoa or something?
I don't think that would do it either.
Well, I don't know. As I'm just asking. You know?
I think we got some issues with that.
Texas into pieces. You could do it that way.
There you go. That could work.
There you go. Anyway, so And I think we should probably wrap it up. But anything to say about Petraeus? He did. He had an affair. He resigned. I've read some stuff about how this is.
Well, just shows that he's. I mean, that was kind of pretty stupid. I mean, look, let's face it. We've had quite a lot of people having affairs. I mean, come on, for God's sakes. I mean, or somebody was just, you know, I mean, Newt Gingrich. I mean, talk about the list of, I mean, Democrats, Republicans alike. I mean, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing.
No, it's
okay,
not.
All right,
no, it's
they got
not.
Nothing to do with it. So it's not that. Look, I don't think he really had much of a choice. I mean, look, you're the director of the CIA. I mean, you want to talk about a position that really you don't want somebody who, you know, who could be
blackmailed.
Right. It showed some poor judgment. I mean, but, you know, I think that, you know, hey, it was found out. I honestly didn't have much of a choice. I mean, he went immediately, went over to the president, just offered his resignation. I mean, he knew it. Yep. I mean, he knew how bad it was.
Well, and part of what has been coming up is, regardless of the affair, the fact that he's out of office will also make him as a target for as a scapegoat for Benghazi or whatever else people want to dig up about what the CIA has been doing in the last couple of years.
I mean, you know, well.
He's a target as a scapegoat because he's resigning. Whether or not he was actually responsible for anything, because he's no longer going to be in office, it's going to be very easy to blame him.
I think the people that were really – this whole Benghazi thing had gotten so much freaking like play basically because, you know, let's face it, the Republicans have been using it for the fucking election. I think that right now that the whole fucking, you know, the election's over, I don't think anybody's going to give a shit anymore.
Maybe. I've seen that there are some indications that things were mishandled in a variety of different ways. I'm not saying it's going to be like, you know, running up to the president and the president's going to be resigning over it, but...
But my point is, I'm not discounting that things could there were probably some things that were mishandled. I'm not discounting that in any stretch, but the one thing is, like, let's face it, I mean, with all the things that we have going on at the same time, is something going to be mishandled that causes something like what happened? Yes. Okay, all right. Do I think that a whole bunch of people went and intentionally mishandled that in order to cause somebody to get killed? No.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, you're always going to find, I mean, situations as fluid as what the hell's happening in freaking Libya, for God's sakes. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised, you know, let me tell you something. With us putting people like in Afghanistan, in Libya, in Iraq, in Egypt, and all these freaking places, for God's sakes, like right now where we've got them right now, the fact that this is the only really bad thing that's happened, surprised it hasn't happened. We haven't had more incidents, to be honest with you.
Yeah, probably.
So
anyway, Petraeus. Yeah.
You know.
And
there's a picture on the cover of the Wall Street Journal with a girl. Pretty good looking, actually. So.
One final thing, and then we'll wrap up. The House and Senate basically stayed the same. Not much to talk about there. The Democrats did win a few interesting races, but you know, balance of power is the same. The other interesting referendum thing, and I don't think we'll talk about this today, maybe next time or the other, a number of states including my own, Washington State, had gay marriage and pot.
Weed! Yeah, exactly. That guy smoked so much weed. This is what we were talking about at the beginning. You've got the fucking Republicans that are against this, and now... I got to tell you, you know, you want to talk about votes that didn't happen. Over here in the state of Florida, they had put 10 constitutional amendments on the ballot, okay? Virtually all of them got rejected, okay? Mm-hmm. Even including, like, stuff that you would have thought, like, the Republicans would have been all over, or, like, one that was supposed to be against the Obamacare and whatever, whatnot. None passed. None, okay? But, you know, and all of them were, like, of this kind, amendments to, like, the abortion rights, against health care, against, you know, all shit. But look at the ones that passed. California voted, by the way, to actually raise their own taxes in order to fund schools. You got gay marriage and, like, legalization of marijuana approved in multiple states. You know, what does that tell you? I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, I think that even when you talk about the division between like the Republicans and Democrats, I think that on those issues, that's one of the things that keeps Republicans in problems. The vast majority of Americans are for gay marriage and are for, you know, legalizing marijuana.
I wouldn't say vast in either case, but it's getting up there. It's a majority at this point.
Bad hyperbole I used, but the majority of Americans. Yeah, exactly. I fucking love hyperbole. But anyway,
since we never gave the context, Yvonne argued that in 1980, 60 was ancient.
I was just exaggerating, but anyway, as I usually do, for God's sakes.
Anyway, I think that's a show.
That's a wrap.
We'll talk more next week about the events of the day, and maybe there'll be some more talking.
Predictions for the 2016 election? No, not yet.
We'll wait till our end of the year show for that.
Yes, we'll wait a couple of weeks.
Anyway, that's it. Come on, we'll talk about things next week. Whatever's in the news, and maybe some tech. And I still haven't made up my mind on which iPad I want. So if anybody out there has any opinions on that, let me know. We have a volunteer who wants to come on the show to talk about Windows 8. So we'll probably take him up on that in the next few weeks.
On that, because I know I haven't tried Windows 8 yet. Have you?
Oh no, I haven't tried. The last Windows I used was XP.
Oh shit. Okay. All right. Well,
I'm out of the Windows world. So
okay. All right.
As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, if you want to volunteer to come on the show to talk about a topic that you're especially interested in, let us know. Yvonne and I will consider it and maybe have you on as a guest. We love guests. We love listeners. You know, tell your friends, tweet about us, all the usual crap I always say. And thank you, everybody, for following my election coverage for all year long. It took a lot of work, and I appreciate the fact that there were people out there paying attention to it and valuing what I did, because otherwise, you know, it's just a huge waste of time. even though it was fun for me, it would be a huge waste of time if it wasn't for the fact that there were people out there appreciating it. So thank you.
But you were right!
I was right.
Damn it.
Perfect record. We'll see if I can do it again in 2016, or maybe in 2016, I'll decide to just leave it to Nate Silver and go to sleep.
Basically.
Anyway, that's the show. Goodbye, folks.
Bye-bye.